in general and what we do in Bexley. And also, there will be opportunities for prayer as well. And let's be informal and learn, but feel comfortable to ask questions, and either formally or informally, and there'll be other opportunities to meet Kathy as well later this month. So let's just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you sent Jesus to this earth to be the visible face of the invisible God, that you are Emmanuel, God with us, that you came to earth and you walked with us, you lived the life, Lord. And I just thank you so much for the privilege that we can come alongside others in their walk in life, Lord. And I just pray that you will bless this evening, that we will all learn not only more about street pastors, but we'll learn more about the heart of God as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So Kathy's going to come up, and we are recording this. So if anybody you know says, oh, I wished I'd come, direct them to the church website. Okay.
Hi, as already been said, my name is Kathy and I'm from Bexley Street Pastors. And thank you for all sitting in the same place, because it makes it a lot easier. You'll have to excuse me, I'm not used to the Brittany thing. So if I start twitching, that's what it is. You obviously haven't seen me dance, Anne, otherwise you wouldn't. Right, as been said, I'm from Bexley Street Pastors. Bexley Street Pastors have been going for just over 10 years now. Our first patrol was in December 2006. Now, 3 years before that was the actual start of Street Pastors itself. Street Pastors is part of Ascension Trust. That's the umbrella organisation that governs us. As well as Street Pastors, it also has, and if you like, in its stable, it's got rail pastors, response pastors, school pastors, retail pastors, surprisingly in Scotland. I'm not quite sure why just there, but there you go. Because people say the Scots don't spend anything, but they obviously need the retail pastors. The rail pastors came about when a town, their street pastors were not finding anything happening at all in the evening, and they were starting to think of disbanding. At the same time, British Rail said, there's a lot of suicides, a lot of problems. Do you have anything that we can do there? So Ascension Trust trained up those street pastors and turned them into rail pastors. Then we have response pastors. I heard someone earlier tonight talk about the Croydon... response pastors were there. Response pastors are people who've had the street pastor training and then a little bit extra, and they will go. We're not first responders or second responders. We're there to support the emergency services, relatives, whatever they ask us to do. So Ascension Trust also has a mission to Ghana, Word for Weapon. So it's a huge organisation, and it's been going since, I think it's about 23 years now. So it came to Bexley in 2006. Why? It's always why. Basically, if there's a nighttime economy, there's a chance of antisocial behaviour and problems. And street pastors come into their own in that area. I said to someone earlier, as a street pastor, I find being out talking one-to-one easier than having to stand up here and talk. Because so give me a drunk and I'm happier than all you good Christian people. You know my own. Okay. We'll chat later, shall we? So what do? We're there to listen, help, and support anyone, absolutely anyone, regardless of race, colour, gender, creed, belief or no belief, their sexuality, whatever. It's not our job to judge. One night I had someone out from the council who turned to me and said, so how do you treat homosexuals? And my answer to him was, same as anyone else. There's plenty of people out there to judge what they're doing. That's not our job. Our job is to help, care, and listen to anyone. Now, we've got a short film, just less than 5 minutes. If you were here when I spoke about 18 months ago, you might remember it. If not, it's new, and then we can carry on after you've seen that.
I was very much drawn to the fact that people, Christians, are out on the street with vulnerable people at a time when normally we'd be tucked up in bed. I just think for too long maybe the church has been associated with sitting in a church, and that's about as far as they go, as actually going out, being alongside people. It's the fact that drew me to this sort of ministry, this work.
Far more exciting than going watching television to sense God. Something that has encouraged me recently is the fact that God asks us to, as Christians, to be his witnesses. And that doesn't mean going out and sort of preaching to people, but it means that we watch what he does, because people ask questions. Really, we're just showing the love of God. We try to help where we can. And that really affects people.
I'll say the first one. We're standing in front of one of the pubs, and this young man just walked up to me and he stood next to me. I said hi, he said hi, and I asked if there's anything in particular he is looking for. I mean, how is it going? So I started a conversation, and then afterwards he said, well, I've just come to you so that you can just talk to me. And I said, about what? He said, anything at all, just speaking to my life. So I was a bit puzzled, and he said, well, a few years ago his life was just in a mess, and he met some street pastors, and they spoke to him, and the things that they talked about really affected his life. And so he had, you know, his life was changed around, and he was a better person, he had a good job. And he felt that that occasion that he encountered speaking to those street pastors really made a difference in his life. And that really touched me. So he just came to me and wanted the same opportunity for us to just have a chat and for me to say some good things about, obviously about God's word, to impact his life. And that really touched me.
It's really good to work with other Christians of different denominations, because otherwise you could become very sort of closeted in your own church, your own church life, and to actually work with people who go to Pentecost or Baptist, all sorts of denominations, and just work together united, that it shows a real sort of united front out on the street as well. Because often people will say to you, are you Catholic, or which church do you belong to? And they're quite surprised when you say you're from different churches and you're working together. I think that's something that I think is really, really important. It's been crucial in the whole Street Pastors initiative.
I need to point out, the person who was wearing the yellow high-vis jacket was an observer. People who come out with us to see what we do, either because they want to be better informed about this mission that's actually on their doorstep, or if they want to, like the council, checking what we're doing. We've even had people from Asda's who've come out with us, because at one point we were getting free water and lollipops from Asda's, so they came out. But obviously most of the people who come out are people who are thinking that they want to be street pastors. So if you were thinking about it, we put you in a high-vis yellow jacket so everybody can see you, and then to take you out. After one evening, we would not expect you to make any decision, and even if you did, we wouldn't take it. We expect you to at least do two observations before you decide that you would want to be a street pastor. So at the end of the night, if that was something you were keen to do, that would be your next step. Before I go any further, I'm going to ask Irene to come up. I always think of Irene as the street pastor who got away. Got away from Bexley, I have to say. So how long have you been a street pastor now?
5 years.
5 years. So what made you become a street pastor?
I had heard of street pastors. When we were living in Bromley, a person from Bromley who worked for Wesley Owen rented a room with us, and she was a street pastor. So it had, and David's cousin, my husband's cousin, was a street pastor in Bromley. And it was something that I was sort of interested in, but it wasn't possible to do it then, or it would have been difficult. And then after my husband died, I moved over here. That year, 2012, was the Olympic Games.
Yes.
And I had come over because the Savages were here, and I came over for Sunday, and I heard Hillary talk about games pastors, and I thought, yeah, I'd like to do that. So I went for the training, and they suggested going out with street pastors. Well, I didn't know how to get in contact with the Bexley ones, so street pastors, but I knew a friend of a friend who went to Greenwich,
yeah.
And so I contacted them, and I went out, just went out, you know, that couple of nights with them, and signed up.
What do you think is the biggest challenge to you personally?
I think the biggest challenges really are the homeless. Yes, we can help, but it's such a big problem, and knowing that there aren't enough places, you know, that it is so hard to find somewhere. You know, it'd be so nice if we could just say, oh, just go there, but you can't, and it's a bit frustrating. You feel a little, you know, a bit helpless, really, in that situation, because we can give them phone numbers to ring, but that's actually finding somewhere, you know, we're not able to do that. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest challenge, really.
Thank you. I'm looking for a glamorous assistant. Have I got... Your eyebrows went up there, Anne. Would you like to come up? You can see I'm used to using a mic rather than... Right. Can I just get you to put this on? This is what Anne looks like. This is what Anne looks like when she goes out on a Friday night.
It's not actually, because I don't ever wear these. I'm always too hot.
Now, we have to wear 3 pieces of uniform, so that if Anne was to meet someone who needed to have to be wrapped up, we have silver foil blankets, but if you're stone cold, and you put, same way that if you've got a cold turkey, you want to keep it cold and you put tin foil on, that's exactly what will happen with those. Sometimes you need a blanket. These, well, you're going ahead of me, aren't you? We've taken these off to wrap around people. I've used mine over someone who was semi-conscious. So that's why. And then when you take your jacket off, you've still got your T-shirt so that the police can still see us. We've still got logos. Everything we wear has got a logo on it. So you can be seen by CCTV, the police, and your colleagues, hence the baseball cap, which is probably, you know, it's not the most glamorous of uniforms. It's not going to win any prizes, this. But you can be...
You have a thermal beanie.
Yes, yes. Well, they're even less glamorous, aren't they? By the hat, if you're in a crowd, you can be spotted by your colleagues, seen on CCTV. And sometimes the doormen will look for us as well in among the crowd of folk. Now, as Anne went through my pockets earlier, she can go through officially now. Now...
Oh, they're small ones.
Lollipops. Now, that is probably one of our... After prayer, that's the best weapon we've got. These lollipops have more uses than you could ever, ever imagine. We've had nights... I mean, when I first started as a street pastor and I heard people giving out sweeties, I thought, no way, what can that do? And then I spent a night up in... Covent Garden when it was the New Year Patrol, and I saw them being used very effectively. Young people were being talked to, and as the street pastors left, they just said, it was really nice chatting to you, have a lollipop. So they left. Other nights, someone's been sick, and you know yourselves if you've been sick, the horrible taste in your mouth, and you go, after you've cleaned them up, given them water, you leave them with a lollipop. Or you've got the two lads who have been a bit of, hey, argy-bargy, we're going to... You give them one of these, and by the time they've figured out how to unwrap it, they've forgotten why they were fighting. They're also used when we give, you know, the girls with the stiletto heels, and you give them flip-flops. Their boyfriends go, where's mine? And we go, well, you can't give it to you, you know, it's just for the girls. That's sexist. I go, yeah, but you can have a lollipop instead. Oh, thanks. And that's all it takes. So they're fantastic. Do you want to go through my other pockets and see what... Right, this. When you're praying for the street pastors, pray for safety. Not just from people who... other people, but the things that we do. Whether we're doing first aid or picking things up off the street. We picked up last year over 800 bottles on the streets of Bexley. That's just the Broadway. We pick them up for two reasons. They don't get used in fights later, and the broken bottles don't cut girls' feet when they don't get the flip-flops. And someone has reported that across the UK, street pastors save the NHS something like £13 million from casualty, not having to deal with lacerated feet. So, but pray for us. Pray for our safety. As Christians, we're the light of the world. And across the country, on a Friday night, 4,000 street pastors will be out. So that's Jesus shining in 4,000 people, through 4,000 people, outside pubs, clubs, dark alleys, you name it, we're there. But occasionally we actually need a physical light, because some of the places we go, you need something just to make sure that you're not standing in potholes or whatever. There was one night there at the back of Christ Church, if you know, in Bexley Heath. We could hear voices. Couldn't see anyone, but we could hear them. And you know they're there. And we found a group of young teenagers who'd managed to squash themselves down between the two buildings. But when we came along with the torch, whatever they were up to stopped. So. No, I don't. No.
We do.
Jeff does. Anything else in there? Oh. Let's try that one. Right. I know this is a Bank of Scotland, but, you know, it's got nothing to do with money. It just happens to be the most efficient way of carrying it. While we're out, we signpost to other agencies. We've got cards for Women's Aid, which we have to very secretly give, because usually the person that they're needing the Women's Aid from is with them. So we've got those. We've got cards for prayer cards, Forces prayer cards. We've also got something for resolution, which is for ex-servicemen who are suffering from the effects of their time in the forces. And, of course, we give our own cards out. And on the back, they're blank. on the, we can write any other agency that we can ring back to base for will get written on there. Local church. And hopefully tonight I might get one or two of you to sign. I'll give you a date when you can come out as an observer and put it on there. Go on. And my notebook. Yeah, I think it... You found anything else? It's more cards. I have an abundance of them. We have to record what we're doing. And those figures then go to the police and to the council. They go across, and all the figures from across the country go to Ascension Trust and Scotland Yard. What do we record? The number of people we meet. Last year we interacted with nearly 3,000 people along the Broadway, which is quite a lot of people. And these weren't people who were in church. So here's Christians engaging with 3,000 people where they are. Not where we are, but where they are. We don't count all the hello, hi, how are you doing. These are the actual interactions when people have spent some time talking with us. As I said, we count the bottles, the water we give out. We need to get a record of that because someone's going to have to fund it. We have in the past, as I said, asked us given to us freely, but that doesn't always happen. And flip-flops. We record how many we give out. Thank you, Anne. While you're up, it's hot, isn't it? One winter's night, a street pastor got offered a £300 bike in exchange for one of the jackets. If you were going to ask these people to pray for you on one particular thing, what would you ask them to pray for you for?
Just for compassion, really, for the kids that we meet on the street. I think my biggest heart goes out to the teenagers and the young mums. The young mums that are now having babies that sort of still feel they can go out drinking till all hours of the morning and just leave their kids in the care of anybody that'll have them.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first started, we met up with a girl that was pregnant, and we thought, maybe she'll grow out of it and not want to be out drinking and stuff like that. But no, she's had the baby. Baby's 3 months old now, but she's still out on the streets drinking and being very loud on a Friday night.
Thank you. That's it. You go for it now. Right, I've put on the seats some papers. You'll find one of them is written in either blue and black, and it's examples. I said to you earlier that we send reports in to the police and to the council and to some church leaders. I think I've got 5 church leaders, which when you think of all the churches in Bexley, it'd be great if more came on board. And these have been taken. I haven't doctored them in any way other than maybe removed names. And if you can see any italics on there, that's the bits I've changed. But the rest has literally been taken. So if you can get into some groups, maybe for the next 10 minutes or so, pray about it. Read them, pray, and then we'll come back. And maybe I'll interview David then and see what he's got to say. So I don't know if you want to... I think they're probably the end of the seats, and there's some more here. The actual reports, the BITS report, looks like that. And then some of you will have prayer points, which looks like that. And then I've also asked, I've put this here, and I'm going to ask you, if in the course of the evening... you feel God has said something to you about street pastors or something you want to pass on to street pastors, write it on there. If you've got questions to ask me, I'm happy to answer any questions afterwards as well. There you go. To a close. And if David would come up. Yeah. Got to wait until my roadie's finished.
No.
Great. So yeah. you can tell I'm more used to mics. How long have you been a street pastor?
I did my training with Anne last March. I did my training last March with Anne. Got treated to Subway and things like that. I really started going out around about May, June last year.
What? How did you find the training?
I found it very informative in some respects. The main benefit I think I got from it is kind of getting a better discernment for when you can be involved and when you shouldn't be involved, when you should involve somebody else who was, shall we say, more trained for that kind of situation, and when to actually, you know, kind of just be a discreet presence, as it were. I mean, we had one where there was a potential for a massive brawl, and all we were doing was kind of trying to engage other people to stop them getting involved and kind of isolating the people who had the main beef.
Yes.
And the police were very grateful for that.
If you were to ask your church to pray for one thing about you when you patrol, what would you ask them?
I'd ask them to help me. I mean, most of my time has been spent in talking with people and really leading, you know, kind of talking with people. With street pastors, it's much more emphasis, I think, on listening first and then actually speaking into it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it patience. I'd just call it, I think Anne used a very good word, compassion. You know, you want to hear really what their situation is first and then identify with that and speak into their situation. So, to me, it's a case of, listening to God first, and listening to the people next, and then kind of opening your mouth.
That's a good way of putting it. Thank you very much. Now, thank you, David. David has now moved on to my team on a Saturday night, so if he looks a bit bleary-eyed on a Sunday morning, you now know why. Sometimes people ask us, so what's a night like? We meet together at 9 o'clock, from 9 till 10, we have a cup of tea, any briefing, get the backpacks ready. Hilary's bought one tonight. Don't need that, do I? Sorry. In the backpacks, we carry our famous flip-flops. One size fits all. Or if you're in the army, everything is size 2, too big or too small. The water we spoke of, wipes, bags, sometimes for shoes, sometimes if people are being sick, more gloves, and a small first aid. Some of us are first aid trained. It's not quite as scary as it sounds because it's the Broadway. You can get an ambulance there fairly quickly if something's very dramatic. But that's one of the jobs that we do. We meet there with our prayer pastors. And if there's one thing I want you to remember tonight is that we need prayer. None of this would happen without prayer. We need people at our base praying. The street pastors pray when they're out. If someone's engaged, if there's two engaged in something, the other two will be praying. And we need the churches to pray. So if there's anyone here tonight who'd like to come along and see how the prayer team work, that would be fantastic. We never, ever, ever go out in Bexley without a minimum of 2 people at base praying for us. You know, we have this roll of paper here is the Broadway in miniature. And it's one of the things we leave with the prayer pastors. So they can walk the Broadway with us. While we're out, we try very hard to ring them as often as we can. If the streets are quiet, we ring them and say, it's quiet, keep praying. Or if we hear the blue lights going further down the Broadway or heading to Welling or wherever, we ask them to pray. If we've had a conversation with someone and you've read some of the sort of things, I've tried to pick as many of a variety of different things because the assumption is that the only thing we ever, ever deal with is young drunks. And having read these, you can see There's a variety of different sorts of people we meet. And as we walk away, we'll ring the prayer pastors and say, we've just had this conversation with someone, pray about it. Or we'll see something that's about to happen and we'll ring and we'll say, this is happening out here, can you pray that it stops? There was one night, this is the one that always comes to my mind when I say that. We were up at the fountain, there used to be a fountain there now, I think they've turned it into some sort of rose garden, by the clock tower. And there was between 20 and 30 young men lined up across there, all looking to where the buses come in. And they were waiting for someone to come off that bus. We don't know who he was or what the backstory was. There was three or four young girls with them who were stood on the side, and the street pastors here will know that Jeff was chatting to them, because Jeff's really good at chatting to the young ladies. He seems to have his own following. He's 80, but they love him, absolutely love him. He's a sort of surrogate grandfather. And he's chatting. And from the girls, we learned that they were waiting for someone to come off the bus and that they were going to sort him out, do whatever, when this guy came. Two PCSOs walked past, and I heard them say, it's okay, the street pastors are there. Now, in those days, at this point, there was no dispersal zone. At various points in the life cycle of the Broadway, it gets a dispersal zone. At this point, there wasn't. So they weren't breaking any laws. There was just 25 young lads standing there looking very menacing. We tried everything. We tried the lollipops. We tried chatting to them. We tried breaking it up. We tried everything. And we were with them for 40 minutes. And they were just standing there waiting. So we rang the prayer base. And we no sooner stopped talking to the prayer team. They started praying. And very slowly, one by one, each of those lads who had told us they were not moving, moved away. And that's what the prayer team does. We've seen from people's body language, you can see that they're itching for a fight. We ring the prayer base. They pray. These people walk off arm in arm. So if you want to take anything away, think about being a prayer pastor as well. We love having people at base praying. And if you don't think you can do once a month, why don't three of you get together, and that's once a season, you know? Or two of you, and one month, one of you does the late shift and the other does the early shift, and you swap over. But just think about prayer. So we leave them. You saw them in the film as praying at the beginning. Then we go out. We're out between 10 and 11:30. I'm going to say approximately for all the times, because if someone needs us at 25 past 11, we're not leaving them. Just ring the prayer base and say, can you not put the kettle on just yet? But, you know, but that's what it is. We will stay with them until that situation is sorted. We then have a quick break. We're out in time for all the pubs and clubs to be closing. The last one's at 1 o'clock. So we're out usually from midnight, and then it's probably about 1:30 on a Friday, 1:45 on a Sunday morning, I should say. Again, we'll stay with whatever situation. We're not going to walk off and leave someone. And if it's a young female waiting for someone to come and pick her up, we'll sit with her. If she doesn't want us to be with her, then we'll step away and we'll stand somewhere where we can keep an eye on her, if we are at all concerned. Whatever it is, we're there. Now, I've said quite a lot. Do any of you have questions that you'd like to ask? That's a really good question. Some of them... does everybody get home? Does everybody have someone to meet them? Some people are sensible and manage to get a cab, but then sometimes, although they've booked the cab earlier, they might be too drunk to recognise the cab they're supposed to get into. And I've been there one night when someone just said, oh, my cab is one of these, and she hands me her phone. Can you figure out which one is mine? Now, that could have been anyone. And the other thing I've got to say is, it's Christians that are out there. If the Christians weren't out there, somebody else would. And you're aware that some of the cabs, they're called cabs, They're not cabs. They're just people who, it doesn't bear thinking what they're out to do. But we were able to get her safely into a cab. Other people we've waited with until mums, dads, boyfriends, girlfriends, whoever have picked them up. And some people just walk home, wherever home may be. Hopefully, if they're in stilettos, they've got at least flip-flops, so they've got a sort of secure base. But, you know, I mean, one night we found someone sitting in the middle of the roadworks when the Broadway was being dug up. We have no idea how he got in there because there was no disturbance on any of the fencing and barricades that they put out. We had to move some to get to him, and we took him out. And he had no idea who we were or where he was. But then eventually he remembered his address, which wasn't too far off the Broadway. So we walked him home. And then he was very keen that we'd go in and have a cup of tea with him. But we couldn't obviously do that. So some get home very safely and some, I can't say what happens. Some do, but if they're very drunk, the cabs won't take them because they'll have to clean up any if they're sick in the cab. So we've had issues with some of the cabs. In fact, there's one cab company who's been really good, and they took somebody back to Greenwich for us, but it's not always that way. So we can keep them safe while they're on the Broadway, but once they've left, unfortunately, we don't run our own taxi service. Yes, I mean, one of the things, it's not this backpack, one of the backpacks carries a charger, because we were finding that people would go out and their phones would run down, and then we'd kindly ring mum, dad, whoever, and mum, dad at 1:30 in the morning would see a strange number and go, not answering that. So we've bought one of those phone chargers so that if their phones are flat, we can charge their phones up, and when the phone goes at 1 a.m, they'll find it's their daughter's phone number or their son's phone number, and then they're more likely to answer it. I've now gone off on a tangent about phone chargers, and I can't remember what the question was. Yes, so that's something we're doing to try and, you know, help people get home. So. Yes. Every street pastor, the question was, how often do street pastors patrol? Every street pastor makes a commitment to patrol once a month, which is 12 times a year, which is not a lot. If you're Jeff, who was the older gentleman on the film, he goes out every week because he says there's nothing good on the telly. So... I'm Scottish, so, you know.
And secondly, what does the police service say about you as street pastors?
I'll work backwards, if I may. If you go to Scotland Yard, because it all goes back to Scotland Yard, and Ascension Trust talk to Scotland Yard, we have a protocol that we work between the police, the local police, and ourselves, which was written in Scotland Yard with Ascension Trust. So it's something the police recognise and the police are happy to have us. Some areas have street pastors down on their website as part of as one of their partners. It's not something that happens in Bexley. Bexley has, I can't speak for other boroughs, but we seem to have a very quick turnover of borough commanders. I've been a coordinator now for 5 years. I'm on my fifth commander. So each year I walk in, introduce myself, and I have to say that all of the borough commanders have been very welcoming, very supportive, and that's worked their way down through the ranks. In Bexley, we have just received some funding from Bexley Safer Neighbourhoods, who... and that came from a police inspector who put our case forward. So I have to say the police are very supportive of us as street pastors. I've been out one night. There was somebody from Is it Any Ways Essex or Only Ways Essex? I don't know what the... What, yeah, I don't think it was him that night. This was maybe... he was there and he'd gone off with someone's girlfriend. Whoever it was from whichever of those shows, I don't know, I don't watch the show. And as they were going to the cabs and the cars that were taking them away, there was a bit of a fracas. The street pastors got in there, split it up and moved on. The police were there, but there was only a couple of bobbies because that was, it all happened so quickly. And as they dispersed, one of the police officers turned to me and said, "You guys don't get the recognition you deserve." So that's it from the bobby on the beat to the borough commander in the office and Scotland Yard. Personally, I find that I'm constantly having to reintroduce myself, because the bobby that I met 10 years ago when I first started, if he's still in the service, he's probably moved boroughs or he's been promoted and he's been replaced by another bobby who I'm going to have to introduce myself to. So it's a constant, but that's the same with the population. The 20-year-old who was out 10 years ago is now 30 and probably past some of the silly antics like climbing lampposts as they were doing 10 years. You would hope so, but, you know. In the first question, the response, that's yes and no, which doesn't... the borough... Yeah, I was just going to say one thing. The borough is... It's overstretched. We haven't got enough police officers. It's a huge borough of... There's 250,000 people in Bexley. And when we put a call through, somebody has got to decide whether the stabbing that they're dealing with somewhere else in the borough is of a greater importance than the drunk that we're complaining about on the Broadway. So I can't say whether I get a better response. I can only say that I found the police supportive. Would you like to add something, Anne?
We had an incident a little while ago, about 2 months ago, where there was outside one of our infamous pubs, we had quite a fight, and we had three or four injured people, a head injury because his head had been a window had been smashed, and we had one of our street pastors ringing the police, and they sort of said, "Well, we were watching you, and we were just waiting for you to ring us." And they were there really, really quickly, and they came and sort of, and the ambulances came and what have you. But it was just reassuring to know that actually we were being watched and we were keeping an eye on us as well. So that's always positive.
I think the thing is the police, because we've been here for 10 years, the thing about street pastors, if you think way back when people used to have missions, they'd have... 2 years preparing for this mission, you'd get all the churches on board, you'd have someone who'd have been in the youth tent, and you'd get the speakers, and you'd get the literature, and you'd find the right venue, and where the tents were going, you know. So they would take about 2 years. This mission would last 2 weeks, and then it would take 2 years for everybody to recover before they'd start thinking about the next one. Whereas street pastors arrive, and we stay. That's it, we stay. And we're there. And some nights, and when we said earlier about people having to go out for more than one observation, it's because some nights you go out and the only other person you're going to talk to is another street pastor, because it's cold, it's wet, it's windy, and nobody in their right mind is out except the street pastors. So if that was your only picture of street pastoring, you wouldn't join it. But I have to keep saying to people, you don't know who's watching you. I was out one night, and I'm walking along what it was Thornton's Cafe, but I don't know what it's going to become because it's just closed. And as we're walking past there, it was that very night. There was no one else there. It's cold, it was wet, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, why are we here? And then suddenly a voice from above said, "Who are you? I see you every Friday night. Who are you?" And I looked up, and there was somebody hanging out of the flats above Thornton's. Now, we hadn't seen him, but he'd seen us every Friday. So the crazy Christians, they're out. Doesn't matter what the weather's like. We're out, we're there. And the people know that. We had a girl in Welling. We periodically have patrolled in Welling. We had a girl in Welling who came and sought the street pastors because 6 years previously, when she'd been drunk and we'd held her hair back and stopped her being sick, helped her being, she was being sick and we were stopping her hair from being in the sick. That's all we'd done. That doesn't sound very Christian or mission orientated. 6 years later, she wanted someone to pray with her. Did she go to her local church? She's not part of a church, doesn't know about church, but she knows the Christians are out on the street. So she came to find us and ask us to pray for her. Or the young lad who waited behind when his mates moved off and said, "My mum's got cancer, will you pray for her?" So we're building relationships. We're there, week in, week out, building relationships. And when people are wanting Christians, they're coming to find us. Because we're not what they expect Christians to be. If you ask people who don't belong to a church what a Christian is, what are they going to say? Vicar of Dibley? If they watch Midsummer Murders, it's the crankiest person on that programme in Midsummer's Murder, if he hasn't actually done the murder, he should, you know, he's going to get murdered, is the vicar. Do you know, that's it. If you open your newspapers, what are they going to see about Christians? The verger's run off with the money. The vicar's gone off with someone else's wife. Someone's embarrassed. You know, that's the church is making headlines for the wrong reason. And if you aren't being brought up in church, you don't go to one of the church schools, what do you know about Jesus, about Christians? And some of you are sitting here tonight thinking, I couldn't be a street pastor because I'm a woman. And the statistics are right tonight because for every one male street pastor, there's four women across the country. Or you might think, well, I'm not fit enough. Well, I sat in church last night next to our oldest street pastor. She's 83. So, you know Annie. So, yes. I think everybody knows Annie. She belongs to every church in the borough. But, do you know, and bless her, she's on a regular patrol. And some nights, I mean, she's coming out on Saturday night to be doing part of the night praying. So, do you know, think about it. And I keep having this in my head tonight, that God, when they were looking for the King of Israel, and they looked at the sons of Jesse. And they looked at all these big strapping lads. And they looked at each one and they thought, this one will be the king, this one. It wasn't. It was the little shepherd boy. So God's looking at your hearts. He's not looking at whether you're big, strong, whether you're going to be able to do whatever it is. He just says, trust me, I can do it. Because it's God that does it. It's not us. Right. Is there any other questions? The lifetime. I'm an exception and I've been doing it here for about 10 years. I've been doing it for 10 years since we've had them in Bexley, so yeah. I've got 30 street pastors. I had 30 street pastors when I started. So I often have like two or three leave each year and two or three come in the training. So I'm not sure if God's not given it, if it's because that I work full time. Street pastors is what I do in the evening. The only person here up later than me on a computer is probably Hillary. We both seem to do a lot of our work when everybody else has gone to bed. And I do wonder sometimes if I was doing this full time, because some areas have paid coordinators, and that's what they do. Southampton has got 80 street pastors, full-time coordinator, team of, it's got his business, you know, it's big business. And I do wonder sometimes if Bexley had a paid coordinator, would the numbers be up? Whether God has just left me with 30 because he knows that's what I can physically manage to train, recruit, retain. I'd like people to stay at least 5 years. I would like them. I'd like them to stay forever, but, you know, it's not feasible. The previous coordinator is now a minister somewhere else in the country. The coordinator before that is a chaplain in the RAF. So it's a training ground, if it's nothing else. The church, mostly. We have to try and do fundraising. That's one of the reasons that I'm not a paid coordinator, because I'd have to give my job up to fundraise my own salary, which it's a nightmare of a job that would be. But so the churches give us donations throughout the year. Those, when the police had more money, my training was paid for by the police. But that was back, as I said, 10 years ago when the police had money. They haven't got police officers now, so, you know. Which is another reason we try and get as many of the churches to fund their own street pastor. It gives the church ownership on that street pastor. It gets them involved in the street pastor. And it also means that there's someone who knows about the work. So, yes. Anything else? No. Then, if there's nothing else, I'm going to ask Hilary, as the last street pastor here, last man standing. Hilary went out with me on her, she was a games pastor, and she came out to do her training, as Irene had said. And the whole night she went round saying, I'm not going to be a street pastor, I'm not going to be a street pastor. And I went home that night thinking, oh, she'd be a really good street pastor. But she's not going to be a street pastor. By lunchtime, she'd rung me to say, I want to be a street pastor. So, what made you change your mind?
The reason why I didn't feel able to be a street pastor is that, although I'd heard about it, and I thought, I'm glad someone's doing it, because it's a good thing for the church to be doing, being out there, coming alongside people, I didn't feel adequate. I didn't feel I could do it, because, for one thing, I don't drink alcohol myself. I would avoid going out late at night where other people had drunk alcohol and could be out of control. And I was scared, basically. And I was only really doing it because we had to do it to be a games pastor, which was seeing people in the daytime and talking with them. Mm. But I loved the idea of coming alongside people, being non-judgmental and showing love in action. But what I found coming out on patrol was, as maybe it was you that said, there's a lot of love on the streets. You've heard about the occasional fight and things like that, but the vast majority of the time, people are open, they're willing to chat, they either have heard of street pastors and think they're wonderful, or they don't know what street pastors are, and you tell them we're volunteers from local churches and we're here just to come alongside people who might need help or want to talk or whatever. And they're bowled over and think it's wonderful. So there is a small number of people that might, you know, think, oh, don't want to have anything to do with people from the church. But that's only a tiny fraction. And I didn't find it as intimidating, and I actually thought, well, I could perhaps do this. And I think at times we all, in a particular situation, feel, you know, oh, we need wisdom. But that's where the prayer pastors come in as well, and praying for each other like you were describing. But I've surprised myself that I enjoyed it and that the streets out there are actually more welcoming than you think. But I do think the uniform and going in a group of, it's never less than three or four people, helps, because there is a recognition that you're not just a female out on the streets. You are part of a team. And that's a whole different scenario to just going out as a member of the public.
Mm. If you're going to ask your church to pray for one particular thing, what would you ask them to pray for?
I think discernment, reading a situation. If you're out on the street, sometimes you're trying to work out, you know, what to do for the best, whether to get involved or not to get involved, what to say. So just and also like whether you turn left up the road or right down the road and being in the right place at the right time. We've seen it time and time again that we've just been in the right place at the right time and God appointments. So do pray for God appointments.
Thank you. Hilary touched on see, my church isn't quite so fancy as this with the Brittany thing. Hilary touched on something very relevant there. People think it's a really scary thing to do. It's not. You are so conscious that God is with you, and that makes a difference in any situation. The people we meet, I've often said, sort of fall into a few very basic categories. You get the people who don't want anything to do with you. The people, for some reason, want to tell you they're Catholic. It's the only denomination they want to tell us about. We never hear people coming up and say, I'm Baptist or I'm Anglican, but the Catholics always want to let us know. Or the people who are, they want to shock you. Or the people who think you're the best thing since sliced bread. You know, that's as complicated as it gets. The people who want to shock us, it's always sexual. So to be a street pastor, you can't be easily shocked. Whatever you feel inside, don't show it on the outside. But very often, once they get over the fact, oh, they're not shocked, they then fall into the other three categories that either Catholic, don't want to know, or think we're the best things in sliced bread. And that's as complicated as the night gets. We had one observer who came out, and she was really nervous. So I'm not, you know. But halfway through the night, she went, oh, it's not intimidating at all out here. By the end of the night, she'd had two marriage proposals. We don't think her husband let her come out again. So, you know. As I keep saying, the best way to find out about this is come and join us, either for part of a night or a whole night. But come and join us. Thank you very much for your time.
For coming. I can't see where you are now. There you are, Kathy. Thank you very much for coming. That's been great. While we were preparing for this evening, Irene did share with me some particular scenarios to do with Greenwich. And I think for us as a church, it's important that we understand what she's dealing with in Greenwich as well. So she's just going to say a few words so that we can pray for her and for Greenwich.
The situation at Greenwich, we go out to Woolwich. We go to Woolwich Town Centre. But the difference with Greenwich Street Pastors and Bexley is phenomenal. For a start off, we don't have any prayer partners with us at all. We don't have anyone praying with us before we go out or whilst we're out, unless people are praying at home. But actually on site, we don't have anyone. Also in Woolwich, there's nowhere where we can have a rest, so we're out 4 hours solid, no rest at all, because we can't go back to the church. There are no facilities there. So that's the big difference. We only have, at the moment, we've only got 15 people. And if there's a sickness, people on holiday, it means we cannot cover, because there has to be at least three people on, which means either you have to do more, or very often we have to cancel. Woolwich has changed dramatically in the past 4 years. The first thing was when Lee Rigby was killed. There's been a tremendous difference. Because it's on high alert, there's always a big police presence around. And the other thing is that with the Riverside part now, it's become quite a posh area. And people don't sit in the town centre and meet as they used to and drink there. And there is a no-drink policy as well now, so people just don't meet. We're finding now people are just going backwards and forwards, and with the big cross rail as well. So very often we find that once it gets to about 11 o'clock, Woolwich is absolutely quiet. And so we go over to Greenwich because there's a big student population there. There's a lot of young people there. So we do go over to. So we split the evening. So it's really... I heard this week that we have three new people now going into training. So I would ask that you pray. Also, we're really, really struggling financially because the churches in Greenwich, there are a lot of black churches, hundreds of them in Woolwich. You go and there's hundreds of black churches. But they don't seem to want to get involved with street pastors because they are our biggest critics because they say we should be preaching. We should be preaching the gospel. And so they don't want to get involved because, you know, they want to preach, and that's not what street pastors is about. So I would, you know, we would value prayer for people who would be willing to pray, people to join, and also the giving to help support. Thank you.
Right, let's just pray. Could you, I invite you, if you wish to stand up. We're going to pray for Irene and for the Greenwich street pastors, especially as they haven't got the prayer support. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the reminder that some groups are struggling. And we, in one breath, are thanking you for 10 years of street pastors in Bexley. But at the same time, we're asking you, Lord, to help our fellow street pastors in Greenwich. Thank you so much for Irene, Lord, and the way she connects so well with people. And we do bring you the particular circumstances in Greenwich with the lack of prayer support, the lack of a base, and the opposition from certain Christian groups, Lord. And we just ask for your wisdom and discernment and enabling in Greenwich, particularly, Lord. And pray that we'll be open to be challenged as to how we can help with that, whether dedicating ourselves to prayer generally or for Irene each time she goes out or in some other way, perhaps becoming a street pastor or a prayer pastor or praying at home when she is out. Lord, I just pray that the light in the Greenwich-Woolwich area will not go out, that there will be street pastors pounding the beat, being there as a witness to you, Lord Jesus, not pushing the gospel, but living the gospel. And I just pray, Lord, for this enabling in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to round up our evening. There are a few things around on the windowsills. There's training information on that table there. Kathy will be staying around to answer any informal questions you might have, and those of us who are street pastors. Do help yourselves if there's more refreshments that you would like to make use of. And you will be getting in your bulletin on Sunday the remaining activities to do with adopting street pastors for the month of March. For anybody, as I said at the beginning, who's missed this evening, it will be recorded and on the website so people can listen in. Anne is very kindly arranging a breakfast on Sunday the 12th from 9 o'clock. It would be really, really helpful if you could let her know if you're hoping to come. And there'll be a small charge to help raise funds. And it will include a bacon or sausage roll, toast, croissant, cereal, tea and coffee. And later on in the service on the 12th, Kathy's coming back. She'll be at the breakfast. You can also talk to her again at the breakfast informally, and we'll have something for the children and young people in the service. And do let us know if you want to be connected in some way with regards to prayer. I think it would be possible, would it not, Kathy, for individuals who are interested to receive the prayer bulletin that goes to the church leaders, or a prayerseed version of it? We can look at that if not yet, but if someone wants to commit themselves to praying, perhaps you're physically not able to get to the base, but you want to be more involved, we could look at possibilities.
Am I on or am I back on? We've just appointed a new prayer coordinator, so if anybody is interested in getting details, I'm sure she'd, you know, if you give me your email address, we can start a sort of prayer base. I've got some cards here, bookmark type cards, which would be suitable for praying for street pastors anywhere. That's not specific. It does say Bexley Street Pastors, but it would be, it's the same issues. It's dealing with the police, the churches. You know, I've got tenacity here, which is the stickability of the street pastors. You know, so it would be, if you want to take one of these, they're up here. And if you, any further details, just come and see me.
So you're free to stay and look and talk, have refreshments, or if you need to go, God bless you. Thank you very much.